need it simply because they need to protect themselves. Let's go to Paul Ingram, see what he thinks. Paul? People say Obama's dishonest because he doesn't talk about Israel. Word Wilson says, no, Israel needs to protect itself.
Okay, so I would say essentially that we do live in the real world, as was said prior to the break, and that President Obama, by expressing the vision, broke from recent tradition of American presidents in actually showing some leadership. That leadership's required. What is also required is optimism. If we don't have optimism, we may as well pack up, go home, and accept that we will all be blown up in the next decade or two, because it is that serious. And given it's that serious, we need this vision. Now, I would also say that the Nuclear Posture Review and the START Treaty that we have just seen are not enough, and we need to be pressing very hard for more. And we need Obama and the Congress to be moving in the right direction far quicker than they are at the moment. But we do need the optimism. I really appeal to people. We can do this. And I would also say that it is going to happen eventually if we can pull this through. If we can focus long enough. I mean, for example, with globalization happening, with more and more people living in other countries, it becomes ridiculous for Americans to be targeting Beijing and for Chinese to be targeting Washington and New York when they're owned by the Chinese and when there are significant Chinese populations in those cities. This is the hope for the future, but in the meantime, we need to be working with optimism.
All right, speaking of optimism, now everybody's talking about this nuclear threat. President Obama's talking about the threat. The Iranian president is talking about the threat, hence the conferences. Now, who exactly and what exactly is a nuclear threat in the world? President Obama believes it's the terrorists, so let's keep the loose nukes safe from the hands of the terrorists. There are also some rogue states. President Bush would say that. President Obama's word for that is outliers like Iran and North Korea. But what exactly is the threat? Who is the threat?
Okay, in comparison to the statements that was taken in London, we will be optimistic about Mr. Obama without any doubt, okay, and we can accept some of the sentences of him, although there is some controversial issue in that. But will be Mr. Obama optimistic about the atomic energy of Iran or no? It is the main issue and the most important point right now. Why he or some other persons, like, for example, Mr. Sarkozy or Berlusconi, aren't so optimistic about Iran. And, of course, they're classifying the words, for example, by, I don't know, different views relating to North
Korea. That's a question that I will pose to the panel as well as the audiences. But back to the question of who is the threat, what is the threat in today's world?
Yes, I insist that the main threat of the world, for the whole world, are superpowers. I agree with the expert in London that he mentioned we should be optimistic, otherwise we should go home. Yes, we should be optimistic. But today, in this era, more than being optimistic, we should be realistic. We should see what has been said and what has been done. For example, I have a question. I have a question about Mr. Obama's honesty, that he says we should be optimistic. Which of these two ones we should believe in? The first one. He congratulates the Nowruz and such things to Iran's nation, and then he extends sanctions. He insists on extending sanctions and making new sanctions.
I'll bring up Iran because you guys brought it up, but before that,
I think the threat right now is Israel, because Israel is controlling all North America and all other superpowers, as he was saying. They're killing innocent Palestinians, right? It's very, very easy for them to attack Iran with a nuclear bomb. It's very easy for them, because who are we if they're killing their own people?
All right.
I can say that most of us Iranian are quite optimistic, but in terms of confrontation, I think that they have not taken some steps so far, and they do not sit together.
Who's the threat? Who do you think the threat is?
I think they need...
Where the threat comes from? Where does this threat come from, nuclear threat? Everyone believes that the nuclear weapons, well, they happen to be a great threat to mankind.
So, quite naturally, most of them thinks that there would be lots of threats from outside, so they get ready for all threats. Therefore, they do not stop themselves from producing, you know.
So the producers.
Yeah, the producers.
As my friend said, I do believe that Israel is right now the most important threat of all of the world.
Israel, the most important threat of all of the world.
But I think the difference lies in the definition of us and them, and who's with us, who's against us. And If we can find the answer to this question, I think we can see who the threat is.
All right, another person is burning to respond.
Well, in my opinion, if America is honest about their speech and Obama is honest about their speech, so they have to eliminate the nuclear weapons. They have to stop the research of nuclear components. Why they're not stop researching of
all right, they should stop producing. If you guys are honest about disarmament, so on and so forth, why? But let's go to Washington. Washington, what is a real imminent threat, if you will, when it comes to nuclear weapons in the world? I'd like to ask the lady in black.
Well, the recent nuclear summit, I think, while under the guise of promoting a nuclear weapons-free world and promoting peace, in fact, is an undisguised attempt of the U.S. government to get Russia and China and other countries to further threaten and isolate Iran. If we look at the news media portrayal, it appears that Iran and North Korea are the real threats to peace in the world, when in fact all facts point to the real threat to peace in the world being the U.S. government. 93% of the known nuclear weapons in the world are possessed by the U.S. government and by Russia. And since the U.S. government developed nuclear weapons in the mid-1940s, it has reserved for itself, which it continues to do, the right to carry out first strike nuclear attack. In fact, the U.S. government is the only country that has carried out nuclear attacks. It incinerated hundreds of thousands of Japanese people in 1945 and continues to threaten with the use of nuclear weapons. And that's their other purpose. It's not just the use, it's the threat of their use. The Joint Chiefs of Staff authorized the use of nuclear weapons against North Korea and China during the Korean War. And the fact that the U.S. government attacks and invades and bombs countries all over the world is sufficient evidence for countries in the world who are under attack and under threat of attack that they need to have the capacity to defend themselves. When the Shah was the leader of Iran, when the Iran had a U.S.-installed puppet, the U.S. government actually supported the planning of the development of nuclear power facilities throughout Iran. So at that time, the U.S. government recognized the legitimate reason for Iran to develop nuclear power for civilian and electrical purposes.
I'm sorry, but we're approaching another break. In London, you heard the arguments. What and who is the threat? All right. The active gentleman in gray jacket. Go ahead. And also the one... Well, the lady in front of him, and in the second row. Go ahead, please.
I think the threat, beyond any doubt, it has to be the United States. I think Obama's talk of ending nuclear proliferation is little more than the kind of vacuous rhetoric that we're kind of used to with him. He uses the kind of language of security when he talks about the United States and its allies, and he talks about the kind of language of terrorism and threats when he talks about Iran and North Korea. What we're seeing here is the kind of language that was used during the Cold War, which essentially is beneficial to the United States, both economically and geopolitically.
All right. The gentleman in the back, very quickly.
Everyone keeps on sort of bad-mouthing America and Obama especially as sort of being dishonest, but he brought together 42 nations to discuss sort of nuclear disarmament. President Medvedev of Russia didn't do that. President Hu Jintao of China didn't do that, and they're both nuclear powers. Neither did Gordon Brown. And I think he should be given some credit, and you can't just say that he's automatically the largest threat because he has a large stockpile of nuclear weapons. So does Russia, and they're equally unpredictable. Look at their invasion of Georgia in 2007 and their sort of actions in Chechnya. All of these are sort of unpredictable sort of foreign policy actions.
All right, now, one last question from Tehran before we call it. Just call a break. All right, now we're actually going to have a nuclear disarmament conference in Tehran with the slogan, nuclear energy for all, nuclear weapons for none. But before that, again, what is the threat? You guys brought up Israel. Any other?
I think they should focus on the countries that are producing nuclear power to see what their target is. And if it is weapons, then fine, it's not good. But if it is the power, they want to use the power because maybe we have lack of power. It's very useful. It's good.
All right. When we come back, we need to take a break now. But when we come back, what is the solution to all of this? And, of course, a lot more, like people brought up Iran. President Obama talking about Iran and North Korea. The compound, is that the right combination, A? And what is the final solution to all of this? We'll be back. There's a whole lot of different ways by which you can get linked to the link. First, let me tell you what we're discussing next. Some believe in marriage. Some don't. What do you think? Well, do touch base and tell us what you think. Our email address, thelink@presstv.ir. Our Skype account, the.link2. Or simply webcam your views and send a file to thelink@presstv.ir. Just give us a minute of your time and we'll give you the chance to get linked with our global audience. We're back with the link. The question is, A, President Obama keeps talking about Tehran and North Korea, compounding the two when he's talking about the threat. People in the studio here disagreeing say, well, the threat is those producing nuclear weapons, possessing nuclear weapons, as well as those like Israel and other states that are non-signatories to the NPT. Dr. Afrasiabi, we're going to have you for a few minutes. Let's have your take on this. And also the final solution, very briefly if you can, all together.
Well, disarmament is a highly nebulous and complex issue that requires a closer scrutiny of its historical root causes and why there's been such a, you know, tremendous failure. I think that the conditions today for disarmament are not ripe. We see an intensified arms race between Pakistan and India, nuclear modernization on the part of the nuclear weapon states, and so forth. So I think that what we need is a new global cooperative environment so that, for example, the various existing nuclear weapon-free zones would be maintained and expanded, and there would be a serious commitment on the part of states such as the U.S. to the nuclear weapon-free zones, and unfortunately we see that missing today. And, you know, nuclear disarmament requires, as the Secretary General of the United Nations said, comprehensive and multilateral approach. It's not something that can be done by U.S. alone or, you know, bilaterally. So we really need a new paradigm shift in terms of global security and approach to international affairs away from hegemonism and unilateralism as conducted by the U.S. today.
You believe in a new paradigm, a totally new paradigm. Let's go to Wirt Wilson. Wirt, absolutely. In less than a minute, what do you think?
That your question about the threat goes to the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue with nuclear weapons is fear. They're actually not very useful, but they do make people very afraid. And I think that if we reorient ourselves so that we think of them as dangerous but not very useful, that it won't be that hard to get rid of them.
All right, let's go to Paul Ingram. And after you guys, it's the audience time. So, Paul, what do you think?
I think the threat, you ask. The threat is us, and I don't mean the British. I mean the attitudes that that take us to these places of fear and of responding to perceived or real threats from outside by threatening back. It's this idea of deterrence, which, as I say, is at the root of the nuclear posture review. It's at the root of every state with nuclear weapons policy, and indeed other states too. If we are to tackle global issues like climate change, like the collapse of ecosystems, like nuclear weapons proliferation itself, we're going to have to change the paradigm. So I agree with our guest in Boston. This is going to require a big shift, but it's a shift that requires not just governments to make, but peoples too. And I don't think we're quite there yet, but we do need the vision and we do need the optimism.
All right, a whole new paradigm. The audience, the solution to all of this. All right, everybody is asking for a world without nuclear weapons, disarmament, whatever the name is.
We don't have any weapons in Iran to disarm. We need to enrich uranium, all right? We need to get I-35, I-25, thyroid cancer, nuclear medicine, we need to reach that stage. We need to reach that level. Even in the medical field, before, in the medieval times, we were first. Now they're telling us we can't enrich uranium. This doesn't even make any sense. So you want patients to die. You want patients to die because superpowers, as he's saying, they don't want us to have enriched uranium. Now, if that enriched uranium could be a bomb, in our religion, we're not going to make any bomb. We're not going to attack any country with any bomb. I'm a physician myself, all right? I want to specialize in nuclear medicine. I live in Canada. I would love to live in Iran. But if they're not allowing us to enrich uranium, how are we going to cure our patients?
I leave it to the experts, the specialists. I didn't talk about that. But about talking about the solution for us, for Islamic Republic of Iran, as if you ask me, I say we should continue to our peaceful nuclear purposes and nuclear energy, and with all due respect to all the experts, ignoring the blames, ignoring the threats, ignoring the tarnishing, that's all.
All right.
I personally think that the religious issues that you mentioned, I can't accept this, because in religious you can do everything by interpretations, different interpretations. But I think the main threat is not nuclear weapons. I think this is global political system that leads by the some leaders that are not eligible for this system. They are defining new threats, and they are claim that this country is going toward the treating this system. And I think this political system.
So you believe in that the solution is a new paradigm in the political system the world has run.
So, go ahead. I went just back to Paul in London. I want to be quite optimistic, Paul. But I think it's quite hard, you know. When President Obama in the United States, let's say, looking for some excuses to alleviate the tension in the region and following producing, you know, nuclear weapons. So how can I trust them?
How can I?
I think the solution is to have the proper means of cooperation between different nations about eliminating nuclear weapons, and likewise, as long as we some countries think that they have to have a nuclear power for the protection, as a tool for the protection, this is not the way.
All right, that was an interesting comment. Let's go to London. I see that lady raising her hand, holding that hand up.
I do actually agree. Unfortunately, attitudes need to change before you can even consider disarming. The problem is that it's all very well for the gentleman in the audience in Iran saying that Iran don't have nuclear weapons and Obama's being dishonest. But the problem is, when you have the Iranian president saying he wants to blow Israel off the map, that sort of language is not very conducive. So until these perceived threats, or what they seem to be real threats, are eliminated, I don't think we could ever have our dream of having a nuclear-free world.
Now, I see a gentleman in Washington raising that hand. But before that, I'd like to have a response from Tehran, because it was about the Iranian president saying, well, Israel should be wiped off the maps, so on and so forth. I'd like to have a response to that from Tehran.
Wait, did you want him to say Israel be erased off the map? I mean, Philistine is Israel, all right? Just because on the map right now, in the United States and London and Washington and wherever else, he says Israel, all right? That doesn't mean that we're going to blow up Palestinians. This doesn't even make sense. You guys just don't understand what Dr. Ahmadinejad is even saying.
All right, yes. Let's go to Washington. And the gentleman who was holding his hand up, I'd like to have his take on this. What do you think about the solution to a world without nuclear weapons that everybody's asking about? There was this gentleman in Washington in a gray jacket.
Let's be clear about Israel. Israel is an occupying power, and the occupation is illegal. But there are 1 million Palestinian citizens of Israel, and if you talk about wiping Israel off the map, then talking about massive death to Palestinians too. The question about what is the solution? The solution is not nuclear energy. Nuclear energy is usually destructive to the environment and to human health. In the United States, we have not built a new nuclear power plant in almost three decades. That's because citizens rose up and decided that we don't want that anymore. We want clean energy. We're still in the process of actually developing clean energy. We need much more investment in renewable energy. And that is a solution. There's no way to safely dispose of waste from nuclear energy, and the reprocessed waste can be used to build nuclear weapons. So we need clean, green, and sustainable energy. That is a solution for the United States and for the world.
All right, I need to correct myself before I let you guys go on, and that was Iranian president, became Iranian president in 2005. Now I see the gentleman in Washington raising his hand. Go ahead.
I think we need a sort of two-pronged approach to this. First, obviously, is to address this in terms of nuclear weapons, which is what we've seen recently. It was absolutely right when it was said that the U.S. and Russia have 95% of the world's nuclear weapons, and much can be done just between those two countries in reducing the nuclear threat. Beyond that, and I think we've touched on this in discussions throughout the show, there's a broader issue of where there's fear and where there are regions of instability, and we need to address that both in terms of nuclear security, but also in terms of basic diplomacy, confidence-building measures, and general conflict resolution. And so it's not a quick or clean answer, and that's not satisfying to many politically, but that really is where the future is in nuclear disarmament. We can't look at this in just in terms of nuclear weapons. We also need to engage this sort of broader regional landscape in places like the Middle East, in India and Pakistan, and throughout the world.
All right, throughout the world. Let's come to Tehran. All right, so what is the final solution?
Final solution is to be optimistic, as Paul said. I think the steps that have been taken, like the conferences, are good things. So we need to be optimistic, have faith, and put more actions into our words. So what we say, we take steps and put more actions. That's the
All right. thing. He's asking for more actions being the solution.
I think the role of NPT should be more highlighted, because right now the role of it, as we can see right now, isn't so highlighted, and the countries even that are belonging to this, that are members of it, I don't know, they are doing so many different issues just without supervision of NPT. I think the main issue right now, or the first step that should be taken right now, is just highlighting the role of NPT and just its action toward the countries that aren't just a member of it right now.
All right, another take on the solution.
Well, I think we have to develop a new mentality towards the problem. And I think the creation of a new paradigm, I think, as the guest in Boston said, would help to solve the problem. And if you look at the problem in a different way, I think that is going to
All
solve
right.
the problem.
A different way and more optimism. Let's go to London. I see the gentleman. Yes, go ahead.
No, just a quick comment. I think it's pretty disingenuous for Iran to host a conference on developing nuclear energy for all and weapons for none, when it flouts international inspectors, hides enrichment facilities, and it rejects international help to develop clean or nuclear energy. I think it's just a bit dishonest and, disingenuous.
So let's have this back and forth again. Well, we have a gentleman in London thinking it's disingenuous for Tehran to hold a conference on disarm the world. Well, he says Iran is a threat, North Korea is a threat. So we have the gentleman saying, if Iran is a threat, why hold a disarmament conference?
Well, I should say a new point, because now I come to a conclusion that the main threat is mass media, and he says that we don't let IAEA to come to Iran and, for example, investigate. Well, we have let them to come. They have come and they have done their jobs. And they have announced that we didn't find anything. Well, in this case, the story is finished. It is done. It is solved. I don't know what was he mentioning.
All right,
exactly.
Another comment in Tehran before we finish. That's all the time we've had for this show. Just another comment.
So I think that all confrontation is only on the paper, and so it's not the real confrontation, and it can't be. I think that reality or honesty has got nothing to do with politics. Therefore, we can't have a world without any weapon. See what I mean?
All right.
And also, I think that the world needs a super monitor to supervise the, let's see, the
right.
world, I think so.
Unfortunately, that's about all the time we've had, but let me get another comment. I can make room for another comment.
I think the media is showing their point of view, not what we are doing here. We're not producing any weapons.
All right, so blaming the media for the perception that, well, in the West, some might have from Iran and its nuclear program. So that's all the time we've had for this year. Thanks to both London, Washington, and of course to our studio right here in Tehran. See you all next week when we get linked again.